Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you that's listening, hey, if you don't mind, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that you have blessed us on this day to assemble together again. And dear Lord, you have been blessing and keeping us, and we're grateful for that. Dear Lord, we ask today that once again you would accompany us as we take this journey into this lesson today. And Father, we ask today in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that Lord, you would continue, Lord God, to shed revelation unto us that we stand in need of. So, Father, we want to thank you. We praise you and give you glory and honor you because you're worthy to be praised and be glorified. Thank you for being our God, our leader, our ruler. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do as we go into this message today. And, Lord, we will be careful to give you the glory and the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today, we are still continuing on. We're back to what I will call, in one instance, ministering to those of other religions and other beliefs, more of on your missionary work style, but also of great importance because this is something that the Lord, you know, definitely wants us to do. Amen. And we're back on the series concerning Mormonism. And for those of you who have been following the series I've been doing on Mormonism, I let you know the reasons besides ministering to them, which is the greatest important thing, but to show you how that as Christians, we have the right to renounce them and their teaching, especially those in the Church of Christ that lies the message. Why is that? Because you guys hear us on the broadcast and we talk to you about Jesus Christ working his last days through the Elijah, his angel messenger, this work that he calls the work of restitution, restoration. And at one time, there was a man named Joseph Smith who was a prophet of the Lord, and who, when in his humility at one time, was used by God in connection to this work of restitution, restoration. However, he fell off into sin, he got off into pride, and he began to start things that was ungodly, and one of them was Mormonism. So we have to renounce their connection to this work of restitution, restoration, because their doctrine is darkness. That was started in Joseph Smith's failure side. Okay? That was not started by God. And so I have been coming with you guys from, on this part of the series, from the Articles in Faith and Practice that God gave, inspired the men to write these Articles of Faith and Practice, which is also of the foundation that the church supposed to be supposed to stand on. And I'm at number 6 on this Articles of Faith and Practice. And I want to read it to you as we get ready to go into the lesson. And it says, we believe in a literal second coming and millennium reign of Jesus Christ in the resurrection of the dead, okay, and eternal judgment, that men will be rewarded or punished according to the good or evil they may have done. Amen. So, hallelujah. So, on that note, amen, this is what we're deriving from. Now, the last time I did, this is actually part two, so even though you may not see on the screens part two, it's just the title of this is Renouncing Mormonism on the Coming Resurrection and Judgment. And this is actually part two. If you will go back and listen to part one of this, and the thing about Blog Talk Radio, it does record all the broadcasts we do. So even if you don't listen on time, the broadcasts actually air, you can catch it because it is recorded. I think that after we get off the air, I think it's somewhere like 15 to 30 minutes, and you can listen to it after 15 or 30 minutes after we get off the air, and it should have been recorded. Now, in part one, and first of all, I want to read to you the research on the basis of what we're dealing with this here, and what the Mormons teach and believe in connection in dealing with the coming of Christ, the resurrection, and the judgment, okay? The coming of Christ, the resurrection, and the judgment, okay? And hallelujah. And I want to, and I'm going to type in something here that I want to read to you guys. We're going to look at what they teach and believe among these lines. And once again, Mormonism was started in Joseph Smith failure time, okay? And once again, it is not of God. I'm just going to, you know, lay it down for you that it is not of God. Mormonism, I say it again, is not of God. Now, in their belief in Christ's coming, and their teaching of Christ's coming, that he's going to, you know, come back, and they believe in dealing with, you know, coming back, and I'm trying to see how I can put this, that last week, well, not last week, the week before last week, on part one of this, I discussed with you how that, you know, they believe, and this is where also coming in where they believe in baptism from the dead, that people who are dead, they could get baptized for them, and they have a chance in the afterlife to go to what they call heaven or celestial kingdom, even though they hadn't repented here on earth. And what I went over with you guys in part one is how that the Word of God tells us that in this lifetime, this is what it shows us, that we choose what our destiny will be in the hereafter. Okay? We choose. Not you could die, and in the hereafter, somebody get baptized for you, and then they get note of it, and then, you know, those that did get note of it, and then they can choose. That is not how it works. That's not how it works. You choose. This is the reason why, people, that Jesus requires us to preach the gospel now. If you had the afterlife where you can make your decision, there will be no need of the gospel being preached to you now. You know, that would be vain and vanity, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It would be vain. It would make no sense, you know, to preach the gospel to you now and you could still make the choice in the hereafter after you die. Somebody could get back. If you ain't been baptized and somebody get baptized for you, you can make a decision in the hereafter. That just don't make, you know, that's, like I said, we got to be careful. And all of us, I say this for all of us, we got to be careful on what we accept, okay? Because, and I have went through this in my life, in my walk with Christ, that some things that sounded so good and real good, and I go, oh, that's right. And then when I really examine it, I looked at the overall message it was saying concerning the Lord, and I went, no, that's not going to work. That's not it, okay? Now, and today, I want to look at, as we talk about their belief in concerning the coming resurrection and judgment. This is part two. I want to read to you from a couple of research. One of them is most definitely on their own website. And I think the other one possibly is too. But there's something else they believe in dealing with, especially the resurrection and judgment. And all this ties in. Because when you hear what they teach in connection with the coming, the resurrection, the judgment, if any of you, and I speak to any of you, at first off, as a Christian who just know the Bible, if you study the Bible, you will find what I read to you, you'll go, say what? Now, understand this. This is what people on this earth is being taught by the Mormons, okay? Amen. And it's, once again, as I talk to you, I have shared with you guys in this series about the Mormons, and they're like many other religions. It's a bunch of contention and confusion in their doctrine, their teaching, a bunch of jumping back and forth, a bunch of God gave so-and-so revelation, oh, on the same thing, oh, now we got a new revelation. You know, it's a bunch of confusion, okay? But I want to read to you something that is of great importance. All this is of great importance. What they said, and, you know, hey, man, the first thing, and that's in this connection of what we're looking at today. The first thing I want to define for you guys, and this, it goes part of this lesson today. In fact, and what I'm looking at here is which way to start this. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 39, verse 41. I want to read this first because what we're about to go into, what I'm going to read to you, what they say, this is where they got what they say from, okay? Which hopefully at another time we'll delve a little deeper what this mostly deal with. But I want to show you that this is what I'm about to read to you, what they believe in dealing with this particular thing in connection up to the coming resurrection and judgment. I want to show you where they got this from, okay? Amen. And also, the scriptures that I'm going to give to you about the truth, it's going to be, let me put it to you this way. Have you ever read particular subjects that God has spoken about in his word? Let's take, for all that just know the Bible first. Okay, let's take this. Have you ever read or study a particular subject in the Bible where God says, if I could use the word little on the subject, but there's other subjects where he just speaks broadly on it. In other words, you know, God's protocols to Malcolm 2 or 3 witnesses. Well, there are some subjects that seem as though he have that minimum witness, like 2, at times 3. But then there are other subjects that you study in the Bible, there is a bunch of witnesses speaking on that subject. Now, you might say, well, Brother Nate, why is that so? I'm not going to make up a story and tell you. I do not know why that is so. But that's what I've seen in the Word of God. Now, when you're dealing with all 3 books, it's the same thing, okay? When you put it all together. Now, individually, I've seen that it's the same way in the books many times individually, like the Word of the Lord and the Record of Nephi. There are some things that he speak, you know, he don't speak as broadly on, but he speak on it. And there's some things that he just speaks broadly on, okay? Once again, why is that? I don't know. But that's what we're looking at now. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39 to verse 41. The Word of God says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Now, listen to this. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Okay, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Okay? There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Now, the Mormons teach in connection to this coming of Christ, the resurrection and judgment, they teach what is called the 3 degrees glory of kingdom of glory, or glory of the kingdom, the 3 degrees. And I'm going to share to you what they said that these 3 degrees are. Now, understand this, they do add a 4th place that we're going to look at. Now, once again, I'm going to read to you the research, amen, that you may get an understanding of what they believe, and then we will go into the scriptures. Like I said, not going to get all this on one broadcast, because there's a broad speaking on this, okay, from the Word of God itself. Okay, so now, let me read to you the first research, and it's titled Mormonism, Afterlife and Salvation, Patheos.com. Okay. And I want to read to you here. Amen. What they teach. Amen. And it says here, one unique element of Mormonism is the concept of the fate of the soul after death. The founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, eventually developed a view of the afterlife that is much more complex than that held by most other Christian groups. Traditional language of heaven and hell and salvation and damnation do not work well in the Mormon content. In Mormon teachings, the final judgment comes in stages. The first stage occurs immediately after death. The disembodied spirit is judged as to its general goodness and is assigned to one of 2 places, paradise or spirit prison. Those souls in paradise enjoy peace of conscience and a time of rest. Those in spirit prison, by contrast, are tormented by guilt and are denied rest. Both groups, now listen to this, however, suffer because they are separated from their physical bodies, something that according to Mormon scripture, the spirits view as a form of bondage. The time of Christ's resurrection from the dead, the inhabitants of paradise were also resurrected. Those who enter the spirit world after Christ's resurrection, however, must await resurrection to the time of Christ's second coming on earth. Now, eventually, it says after Christ returns to the earth, another stage in the judgment occurs. In order to understand this phase, it is first necessary to grasp, now listen to this, the 3-tiered hierarchy of heavens described by Joseph Smith. And that's this 3 degrees of glory that I was sharing with you. They call it also 3-tiered hierarchy of heavens, okay? The highest heaven called the celestial kingdom. So in other words, you could call it 3 different kingdoms. The highest heaven called the celestial kingdom is the destination of those persons who accept all of the necessary rituals performed by the authority of the Mormon priesthood and who were veiled in their testimony of Jesus Christ. So the celestial kingdom, the first one, the highest out of the 3, they said, the people in the celestial kingdom is those who accept all the necessary rituals that was done by the Mormon priesthood. Okay. Then it goes on to say, Mormons believe that missionary work continues among the spirits waiting in prison. Now, remember, I read to you, they said there's those in paradise and those in spirit prison who are tormented by guilt and denied rest. So they believe that the missionary work continues among the spirits waiting in prison. That's why in part one, I deal with you, the word of God showed that you choose in this time what your destiny will be in the hereafter. Not, you know, you die and go in the afterlife having not accept Christ, and all of a sudden you give them the choice to choose then. Now, it said, the Mormons believe that missionary work continues among the spirits waiting in prison, and those who accept the teachings of the church in prison are eligible for the celestial kingdom. Now, get this, they're eligible when you accept the teaching of the church. What church are you talking about? The Mormon church. You get that? The Mormon church. So if you accept the teachings of the church in prison, now this is after you're dead, people, and you are in what they call spirit prison. So somehow, you know, they're going to still get the word, what they claim the word of God to you, after you're dead in the spirit prison, okay? And if you accept it, you become eligible for the celestial kingdom. It is for this reason that Mormons perform temple rites on behalf of their dead ancestors. That's where the baptism for the dead. Irrespective of when souls receive the necessary teachings and rituals, the people who make it to the celestial kingdom live in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ and are exalted. Exalted to what? Well, we talked about it early in the teachings on Mormonism. You can be exalted to what? Godhood. Become a God. Okay. Now, they go on and say the celestial kingdom itself is divided into 3 parts. Mormon scripture says nothing about the lower 2 levels, but specifies that only those persons who are married for time and eternity in Mormon temples are eligible for the highest celestial tier. Oh, okay, so that's all these rituals and stuff that you receive. You have to be married for time and eternity in Mormon temples. Qualify for the celestial kingdom. The next level is the terrestrial kingdom, a place inhabited by men and women who live honorable lives and who accepted the atonement of Christ, but were not veiled in their testimony of Christ. Residents of this kingdom enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ, but not God the Father. See, there they go separating God and Jesus, okay, because each one of them, according to their study, is their own God, okay? So when you look at it, they're saying Jesus is the God of the terrestrial kingdom. The Father is the God of the celestial kingdom, okay? Or you could look at it this way. I read it here. They said that those of the celestial kingdom will live in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ are exalted. Okay, so both of them is in the kingdom of the celestial. Let me get this right. But in the terrestrial, they said that they're only going to enjoy the presence of Christ, but not God the Father. So I guess Christ is the only God in the terrestrial kingdom. Now, understand this, people. What we read from Corinthians, it mentions celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Celestial means heavenly body. Terrestrial means earthly body. So if there's a terrestrial kingdom, that's an earthly kingdom. So how you having an earthly kingdom up in oh, my God, in heaven? And Jesus is, look at it, the God of their kingdom, of the king of their kingdom. You said, why you say that? Because think for a minute. What are five things that make a kingdom? You got to have what? First a king, right? You got to have the people. You got to have the domain or the area. You got to have laws. You got to have officers. So if the terrestrial kingdom, according to what they say, holds, in fact, let's back up a minute. The celestial kingdom, they said those in the celestial kingdom is going to enjoy the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ, okay? So in other words, you're going to say in that kingdom, since you separate them, you got two kings in that kingdom. Well, I wonder, wow. Now the terrestrial kingdom, you're only going to enjoy the presence of Christ, for those of you that qualify the terrestrial kingdom, but not God the Father. So I guess Christ will be the king by himself in that kingdom. Terrestrial meaning what? Earthly. Okay, let's go a little bit further. The third possible destination of the soul is the celestial kingdom. Okay. It is here that all those sinners now, who refuse to repent and will find themselves. In Mormon theology, Christ's suffering and death make it possible for a sinner to be relieved from the punishment of misdeeds in the afterlife. In the afterlife now, if the sinner repents and accepts Mormon baptism, those who do not repent suffer during the afterlife, but even the darkest sinners eventually are redeemed through the atonement of Christ into the realm of glory. Huh? While they may enjoy the influence of the Holy Ghost, residents of the celestial kingdom are deprived of the presence of the Father and of the Son. So if they in a celestial kingdom and the five components that make a kingdom, first you got to have a king, then who's the king of that kingdom? If you ain't enjoying, well, I guess when you look at it, they said here, why they may enjoy the influence of the Holy Ghost. So I just thought about it now. They do make the Holy Ghost a God too. Okay, so I guess he will be the God of the celestial kingdom. Okay? People, do you see how much confusion this is? Amen? So those who are sinners, in this article they say who refuse to repent will find themselves in this kingdom. But if they repent and accept Mormon baptism in the afterlife, notice this stuff, you still have a decision even after you have gone on to the afterlife. So that means, really, when you look at it, people, in this lifetime, you really ain't got to accept Jesus, according to them. So what is you preaching the gospel to them for? That's the question I ask. What are you preaching the gospel? You have made God look like a God of vanity, telling you to do something that really doesn't have no great bearing. Because according to them, Jesus, what he did, make it possible for all to go to the realm of glory. Okay? That's what they're saying. Now, listen to this other thing they said. This is why I told you that they bring up a fourth spot, and they don't like to mention. And I don't know if this have changed now, but it like they don't like to say hell. And I told you, if there's two religions that to me have some things in common, it's the Mormons and Jehovah's Witness in certain beliefs. Okay. Listen to this. It said, in addition to the three kingdoms of glory, a fourth potential destination also awaits certain souls. This is what it's called. Outer darkness is a mysterious place that is the home of Satan and those spirits who follow him when he was cast out of heaven at the beginning of time. It is also the destiny of those persons who, while living on earth, had a perfect knowledge of the divinity of Christ, but chose to reject him and sin against his teachings. In outer darkness, there is endless lamentation, no divine presence, It is the closest Mormon analogy to the concept of hell in most other Christian traditions. The closest analogy. Like, they don't want to say hell, but this is the closest analogy, so they call it outer darkness. So outer darkness is a fourth destination, people, according to Mormons. So according to Mormons, you have four destinations. Okay. And really, to tell you the truth, if you say, man, I don't want to know nothing about Jesus, forget Jesus, you still got a chance to go into the realm of glory. According to them, the fourth destination is people who had a perfect knowledge of Christ's divinity, but reject him and sin against his teaching. So I wonder if the sinner man was revealed to him about the divinity of Christ and still rejected. Well, no, I shouldn't wonder. You know why? Because they already explained it. What kingdom the sinner man would go to. You know? He ended up to a celestial kingdom. See, this outer darkness is for people who they said had the perfect knowledge of the divinity of Christ, but chose to reject him and sin against the teaching. So that would be equal to, as in when you look with Christianity, the Word of God teaches that if you are a Christian and, you know, you sin the sin unto death, you could be lost again, okay? So their version would be out of darkness, where that you know the, you had a perfect knowledge of Christ's divinity, but you rejected him and sinned against his teachings. So that person who had perfect knowledge of Christ and his divinity and sinned against his teachings will be cast, you know, into outer darkness. And see, what we're going to look at, when we look at the Word, that there are, you know, that person is going to be sentenced to a place called outer darkness, which means that they have become wicked and now have gone back in a fallen state. But then they would go with the same place where those in fallen state would go, and that wouldn't. But see, according to the Mormon doctrine, it's not true. Now, let me read to you another research. Like I told you guys, we're not going to be able to get this all today. Another research is titled Kingdoms of Glory, and this is on the churchofjesuschrist.org website, on their website, okay? I'm going to read a little bit to you here. Amen. It says, through the atonement of Jesus Christ, all people will be resurrected. After we are resurrected, we will stand before the Lord to be judged according to our desires and actions. Now, one thing about Mormon, they take some truth and they mix it, so that's why you got to watch it. So each of us will accordingly receive an eternal dwelling place in a specific kingdom of glory. The Lord taught this principle when he said, and they used John chapter 14, verse 2, when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Then they said, there are three kingdoms of glory. That's what we just listened to, what I read to you in the other research. There are three kingdoms of glory, the celestial kingdom, the terrestrial kingdom, and the celestial kingdom. The glory we inherit will depend on the depth of our conversion. I thought you either be converted to the Lord or not. They talking about it depends on the depth of your conversion. Pressed by our obedience to the Lord's commandments. It will depend on the matter in which we receive the testimony of Jesus. And this is found in their book called The Doctrine and Covenants. I guess this is chapter 70, 76 and verse 51. And 76 chapter, verse 74, 79, and 101. You know. But anyhow, okay, so you guys get an understanding of what they believe. This 3 degrees of glory is these three kingdoms, okay? The celestial, the terrestrial, and the telestial. But they throw in a fourth destination called the outer darkness. Now, wow, the Word of God does mention three kingdoms, okay? Now, but it mentions three kingdoms, but not the three kingdoms that is at the, what you want to call, the total destination. One of them, two of them can be, but it speaks of three kingdoms, but not in the way they put it. Okay? Okay? Here they got, for example, they said that there are three tiers of kingdoms of heaven. Okay? Now, that simply is not true. That is one kingdom of heaven. Okay? I want to give you the exact word in there. Yeah. They said, after Christ returns to the earth, another stage in the judgment occurs. In order to understand this phase, it is necessary to first grasp the three-tiered hierarchy of heavens. Okay? Okay? And they use this three-tiered hierarchy of heavens, okay, to say each one is going to be in that particular kingdom. Now, there is more than one type of heaven. Okay? The Bible is clear about that. But it is not put in the way that the Mormons put. Well, what we're going to look at now is what the Bible mentions, three kingdoms. Okay? There's three kingdoms. Not three kingdoms of heaven, but three kingdoms. Okay? There's three kingdoms. Now, we're going to go into the scriptures here. And the first one I want to look at, let's go to Revelation. You've got your Bible. I guess we would start here in the Bible because, like I told you, it's a lot of information on this I want to cover, and I'm looking to see, okay, Lord, which way I need to start with this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 15 here. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and look what it says. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, it mentions the kingdoms of this world. Okay? They are kingdoms of this world, which means they're more of earthly kingdoms here on earth. Okay? And they have kings or rulers. Just like here over in America, our king will be called a president. So there are what is called kingdoms of this world, okay? And we could tell that these kingdoms of this world is not of God because in verse 15 it says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God. So that we could tell that the kingdoms of this world is not of God, okay? Plainly put, plainly, simply put, okay? Amen? All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We're looking at what the Word of God says here. Verse 8, Christ, who was facing temptation of the enemy, we're going to see what the Bible says here and take this information down. And remember, and I gave you the name of the website that you can go on and look for the research. And remember what the Mormon described, who will be in what kingdom, okay? Who will be in what kingdom, okay? Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, it said, and again, the devil taketh him, which is Christ, when Christ is here in the flesh, taketh him up to exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. There it goes again, the kingdoms of the world. Show them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, there have been some debates among Christians. Now, I'm going to say this, I want to, as Brother Lee would say, sidebar. There has been some debate among Christians about what the devil said to Christ. And they say, oh, the devil will lie. He couldn't give them. all the glory is not given to thee if you fall down and worship me. Oh, the devil was lying. He's a liar. He is lying. And that ain't true. Well, he was not lying. In fact, if he was, don't you think Jesus would have called him out when you read the next verse? But he said, get thee hence, Satan. But it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. See, Jesus dealt with him on the part he was wrong about talking about, Jesus, you worship me. If Satan was wrong in saying, I can give you this, Christ would have called him out. You get that? And so remember, when you say, well, how did that happen? How did the devil? Because remember, when God created Adam, he told Adam to conquer and subdue the earth, right? But when Adam gave in to the words of the enemy, that fell on Satan. You understand that? And Satan became, quote, little g, the god of this world. Now, the kingdoms of the world, once again, is mentioned here in 8th verse. But we see that Satan has some rulership over the kingdoms of this world. See, as we look in Revelation 11, we notice that the kingdoms of this world is not of God. So if it's not of God, then that means that Satan has a rulership over them. And we see it right here. Okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, bashata, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Okay. Look at Matthew 12. Still in the Bible here. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 26. Now, these are Jesus' words. You know, whenever it's written in red, they say Jesus directly said this. And I want you to hear this. Now, we saw the kingdom. There's the kingdoms of the world, which means they have a king. Remember the five components that makes up a kingdom. So that means that there are earthly kings, people under their leadership, laws that they made that fits this earthly kingdom, officers of this earthly kingdom, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so we got kings of this world. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 26. Now, look what it says. Remember when Jesus cast out that demon out, they said, oh, he does it by the Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Verse 26 said, Jesus said, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? So there's the kingdom of the devil. Okay? So we got the kingdoms of this world, and we got the kingdoms of the devil. But the devil is king. He have those under his rulership. He got laws in his kingdom, which is evil, immoral, and you name it, nasty, whatever words you want to come up with. But at the same time, he has some rulership over, he had rulership over the kingdoms of this world. You get that? Because in Ephesians chapter 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air, who worketh in the children of who? Disobedience. You get that? And we're talking about three kingdoms that the Bible do mention, but not in the way that the Mormons is talking about three kingdoms, celestial, terrestrial, and celestial, which they call the three tiers or hierarchy of heavens. You know, they trying to say of the three heavens, which the Bible do mention that, the Word of God mentions that, okay, but they trying to make each one have a separate kingdom, and that ain't right. That ain't work like that. Only one of them really has a kingdom of when you talk about the heavens. Now, we look at that. So there's the, we looked at the kingdoms of this world. Now we're looking at the kingdom of the devil. And so the kingdom of the devil, Jesus said that Satan is not going to, in his kingdom, he's not going to work against himself. You see, even though demons don't have the love of God, don't have no love of God, don't have no love, period, they will work together to destroy you. So ain't no need of you trying to turn a demon against a demon. When they get finished laughing at you, they're going to go to tear you up. No, they don't love each other. Most definitely. They don't love each other. But when it comes to you
Oh, they come, they'll fit together like fingers on a hand to try to kill you. You understand that? Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16. Revelation chapter 16. Amen. Now, look what it says here. Verse 10, Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. It says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Now, we know the beast is dealing with Satan and the Antichrist. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Okay? His kingdom was full of darkness. Satan's kingdom is full of darkness. And those that are a part of his kingdom is full of what? Darkness. Okay? And in darkness, there is no peace. You notice it said they gnaw their tongue for pain. Okay? There's torment in the darkness. Amen. You say amen on me. Okay? So we know that when there's a destination, of the destination place, the place of torment and pain is in darkness, or we could look at it, the kingdom of Satan, or especially hell. Okay? Amen. You get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Revelation chapter 11. Let's go here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Excuse me. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to go to verse 10. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Now look what the word of God says here. He said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Now see, there's the third one. There's the kingdom of our God. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cut down, which accused them before our God day and night. Okay? The kingdom of our God. Okay? So we can understand that there is no evil in the kingdom of our God. And this is why he's doing, see, here on earth, his kingdom, where his people are here on earth, he's cleansing his kingdom here on earth to bring it forth, because it's an extension of his kingdom where he at in the third heaven. Okay? It's an extension of that where he at in the third heaven. Okay, so he's not going to have peace, love, joy, and obedience in the third heaven, and in the center of his kingdom down here, just let his people just do anything under the sun. Okay, that's not going to happen. You know, you got some Christians trying to tell you some stuff like that, but that's not happening, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 145. Psalms chapter 100. 45. Let's go to verse, 13. David's psalm of praise. Praising the Lord. Listen to what he said in verse 13. This is what he said about God. He said, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. And one of the things you'll notice out of the three kingdoms, the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of the devil, and the kingdom of God, which I say the best for last. Hallelujah. Out of those three, God's kingdom, the only kingdom that is referred to as an everlasting kingdom, which means that the kingdoms of the devil the kingdom of the devil and the kingdoms of this world eventually will come to an end. Okay? You get that? Where it would be, when the smoke clears, one kingdom. So this stuff that Mormons talking about, some three tiers of hierarchy of heavens, the three degrees of glory, these three kingdoms, no, sir. At the end, no, sir. Right now, even no, sir, okay? We see the three kingdoms that exist now, okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to the Most High God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. We're going to end it there today and come back with the other two books on the part three. Okay, Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Look what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven, there it goes, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. It didn't say, then shall one of the kingdoms of heaven, okay? It said, the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, okay? And understand this, by them being called virgins represent purity, so these is talking about believers. Born-again believers are in this kingdom, okay? Five with wise, five with foolish. Well, when you go and read the rest of the parable, you know, on your time, you will get to understand why he differentiated different. But yes, it's showing you that there's a kingdom of heaven, not one of the kingdoms of heaven. And the Mormons are teaching a three-tier hierarchy of heaven, talking about there's three kingdoms. No, it's not. There's only one kingdom of heaven, people. One kingdom of heaven. Amen. And I showed you where they got there from. Hopefully later on in the series that we'll talk a little bit more on that part. But on the next part, Lord said, say, I'll be coming from the record of Nephite, these three kingdoms. Amen. And just, you know, and plus we're going to talk about the fourth destination as well. Okay. We'll talk about the fourth destination as well. Amen. So glory be to God. So let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and God, and we thank you for this day you've made and created. And Father, we ask right now that you would just continue to bless your people and strengthen them, Lord, in this ordeal, in this hour. And Lord God, help us to walk in your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge. And Father, we just praise you, and we give you glory and honor, and we magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank the Lord for all you've been listening. Don't forget, later on tonight, 7 p.m., Brother Eddie Lee will be back for Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee at 7 p.m. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with Church Christ the Life Message, the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.